Okay, let's review Shabbos Daf Chav Tes. The Mishnah in Chav Ches and Beis discussed if you have a Psilas HaBeged SheKiplo V'lo V'Hava, if you have a wick made out of a garment that has been folded over but has not been singed, so it has not been completely made as a wick yet, it's Machlokas both in regards to Tumah and in regards to Hadlaka, both in regards to whether it's Mekabel Tumah as well as, meaning whether it's Mekabel Tumah and whether it's, meaning whether it's a Kli in regards to being able to be Mekabel Tumah and whether you're allowed to use it for Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's Mekabel Tumah and you're not allowed to use it for Hadlaka. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's Tahar and you are allowed to use it for Hadlaka. However, the explanation of that Machlokas has three different faces in the Gemara. First of all, the Gemara suggests the Shita of Rabbi Lazar Amar Rabbi Ushia, that maybe in regards to Tumah they're arguing whether Kipul HaBeged works to be Mevatel the Din Beged from it. Maybe it's no longer called a Kli, and that's why it would be Tahar. Or maybe Kipul HaBeged does not work to be Mevatel the Din Beged, and that's why it would be Tame. That would be the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Li'inyan Hadlaka, what are they arguing about? Maybe they're arguing about if Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, whether you're allowed a light with a piece of a beged that's exactly 3 by 3 etzba'os, and according to Rabbi Lazar, it would be aser because the wick would be muktzah, because once you do the kippel, it doesn't change it from Torah's beged, it's still a beged. So as soon as you light the neros, you have to light the ner on rove of the psila, rove of the wick. So at the beginning of the hadlaka, the second it becomes smaller than 3 by 3 etzba'os, it now becomes a kli shavur, now becomes a broken kli. So when you continue to light the remainder of the wick, the rest of the wick, you're being madlik on a kli that's already been broken on Yontif. So that makes it muktza. It's something that when Yontif started was a kli, and now on Yontif it's no longer a kli. So you're not allowed to light it because you're dealing with a muktza. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're allowed to light it because at the time that you were mekapel the beged, it already lost its status as a beged. So it would turn out, according to this first approach, the machlokas in regards to tumah, the machlokas in regards to hadlaka, are very much related to each other. They all point back to the question of when you are mekapel a beged, does it lose its shame beged or does it not lose its shame beged? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it does not yet lose its shame beged. It would only have lost the shame beged once you've lit it. According to Rabbi Akiva, it does lose its shame beged. The second statement, however, in the Gemara, Rava, on three lines from the top of Chavtes Amar Aleph, had suggested that the machlokas by hadlaka is actually a different machlokas. Machlokas, whether you're allowed to light it on Shabbos, is a machlokas whether you're allowed to light every Shabbos with a wick that hasn't been singed a little bit, because after all, if it hasn't been singed a little bit, it doesn't light as well. And then the third statement of the Gemara is the Shita of Rav Hamnun on the bottom of Chav Tes Amar Aleph, where he says the machlokas in regards to Tumah is different than we explained it. What they're really arguing about is if you have a piece of a cloth that's less than 3 by 3 tefachim, that you're miyachid for some tashmish bazui, for some lowly type of use, like to close off a bottle with it or something like that, to close off a spout in the merchatz in the bathhouse with it, and you mevatel it from a din of a beged, and then you go and you hang it on a peg or you put it behind the doorway. So according to Rav Lazar, now you've made it a beged again because you've shown it chashivus by putting it on a peg or hanging it on the back of a doorway. According to Rav Akiva, nah, it's still going to be tahora because that doesn't show it any sort of chashivus. Now, had you thrown it into the garbage, even Rav Lazar would agree you haven't shown it any chashivas and it would be tahar. Had you put it in a box somewhere safe, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that that is certainly a show of chashivas and it would be tameya. They only argue in a case where you put it on a peg or in the back of a doorway. Now, in terms of using shivrei kelim on Yom Tov or garine peros or klipos egozim on Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to use kelim that broke on Yom Tov or klipos egozim or garine peros that you ate on Yom Tov that don't have any bit of the priest still on the garin, be still on the seeds, because that's considered muktzah as a result of nolad. Rabbi Yehuda has the more expansive definition of muktzah, whereas Rabbi Shimon holds that that's mutter. You're definitely allowed to light a kli shalem, a full kli. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're just not allowed to stoke with it. After it burns a little bit, you're not allowed to stoke the coals at all, because then it's already muktzah. It's a shever kli that broke on yantiv, so it's going to be a violation of muktzah. But if you want, you could add regular wood to the fire, and that will be mevatel the shever kli, and then you're allowed to stoke the coals if one would like. Now, the leftover oil on Erev Shabbos that's in a kli, that's by a ner, I'm sorry, not the leftover, is the if one sets up a system where a kli drips oil into a ner, on Shabbos, Rabbi Yudol, that's mutter, the chamal, that's aser. The reason the chamal is aser is because it's not mechuber to the ner, and they're choshish that you might take oil from that kli on Shabbos, and you're going to be chayim, mishum mechaba. And even if the kli is made out of cheres, which is a little bit disgusting to take oil out of it, and it's not normal, still he's worried that it's going to be that you might use the oil and it's going to be a violation of mechabe. If you attach a kli to the ner very well, like a yotzer would attach it, then even the chum would hold its mutter, because everyone would associate that kli with the ner, no one would come to actually take oil out of that kli. Are you allowed to fill a plate with oil on Erev Shabbos, put it next to a ner, and have the wick draw from the plate, from the adjacent plate? So that's machlokas tanan as well. Rabbi Yudol tzmuter, even though there's a hefsik between the ka'ara and the ner, and the chamal tzaser, because we're afraid you're going to take from the oil that's in the plate on Shabbos. Are you allowed to drag a bench on dirt if you don't intend to make a furrow, a hole in the ground? So this is the famous machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yudol about davar shena miskaven. Rabbi Shimon holds it's mutter because davar shena miskaven is mutter. Rabbi Yudol tzaser, davar shena miskaven is aser. According to Rabbi Yirmiya, three-way machlok samaraim, what the nature of this machlok tanaim is. According to Rabbi Yirmiya, they're arguing about a heavy bench that you would not be able to lift on your own, you would need to drag it. But if it were a small bench that you're able to take in your hand, even Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's usher to drag it. According to the Gemara, rejects that because it's muchach that Rabbi Shimon is matir even by a small bench. According to Ula, the machlokas is by a small bench that you'd be able to carry in your hand. But if it were a large bench, then even Rabbi Yehuda would be modeh that it's mutter to drag it. And according to Rabbi Yosef, they argue both about a small bench and about a large bench. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be aser to drag a bench even on a marble floor because of a gezeira, lest you drag it on karka and therefore dig a hole in the ground. And finally, the Gemara discusses, once we're discussing davar shena miskaven, what if a person is selling big begadim of shatnis, can he wear them at the time that he's showing them off to potential buyers to sell? So according to Bishum, it's mutter, as long as you don't have any kavana to get hana'as levisha from the begadim, to get warmth or protection from the begadim, because davar shena miskaven. But snuim are very machmir, snuim people are very machmir, they don't wear it at all. Rather, they would hang it on a stick over their shoulders. But according to Bishum, technically, as long as it's not a psik reshe that you can get hana'as levisha from it, technically, as long as we have any kavanah for our Naslavisha, that would be fine. That's the quick review of Shabbos Daf Chavtas.